Welcome to Local Matters Education. I'm your host, Jeremy Wendt, here talking with a couple of National Merit Scholarship finalists from Cookeville High School, Catherine Smith and Natalie Beatty. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello, thank you.
We appreciate you all coming down. So we'll just jump right in, have you all tell us a little bit about yourselves. So let's start with you. Where are you from? Have you always been in Cookeville? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm Natalie. I'm from Cookeville. I've always lived in Cookeville. I go to CHS. I sing. I do musical theater. I like to read and bake.
Okay, very good.
My name is Catherine. I've also lived in Cookeville my whole life. I'm a Cookeville High School senior, and I also like to read, and I like to climb rocks and dance.
That's fun. That's a good fun random fact. Do you climb rocks? Where do you go to climb rocks around here? Do you have to go to Monterey?
I would say Monterey is a good place to go for that. Also, there's lots of places inside. You can climb some fake rocks too.
Yes,
if you like.
The fake rocks. Yes. Okay. Well, very good. Well, welcome. We appreciate y'all coming out. Mm-hmm. Talk about your achievements, which is a big deal. But before we get into that, I'm going to start with the question that I ask. And I've had principals talking here, directors of schools. Question I always want to know first, who was your favorite teacher growing up and why? Because to me, that helps understand how you got here.
My favorite teacher was Miss Forgy, who was my math teacher last year in junior year. She taught SDC pre-cal. And she was my favorite because she was very kind to us, but she was also pushed you to do your best, and she wouldn't let you just goof off, but she also wanted you to have fun and wanted to talk about your life and know more about you, but then make sure that you understood the material, and she would take time out of her day if you didn't understand stuff to really work with you and help you, and I appreciated that.
That's a big deal. Okay, how about you?
Mine would probably be Miss Marianne from first grade. I just have so many sweet memories from her class, and that's where, like, I really learned to love learning, and she was just always so kind and supportive.
And what school was that?
This was at Northeast Elementary School.
At Northeast. Okay. Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, in case they're listening, they've got a shout-out to them, so I appreciate that. And it's fun to hear because so many of the people that I've talked to, sometimes it's elementary teachers, sometimes it's high school teachers. Some of us needed more than one teacher to keep us on track as we were going through school, so it's fun to hear. Okay, so National Merit Scholar and finalists at that. So what is that? What does it mean? And how did you apply for that? Who even told you about that?
My older brother.
Okay.
You have to take the PSAT.
Okay.
Junior year.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a high enough score, you qualify to be a National Merit semifinalist.
Okay.
And so I knew about it because my brother took the PSAT to qualify too.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. And then the same for you. So you took it. So are yes. there lots of people that take it, kind of like the ACT, or is it just a handful of people with you when you took it?
I would say it was, like, when I took it, it was one room, and there were maybe 10, 15 kids in there. So.
And that was all of CHS. I actually took it at Livingston Academy. Because I missed the registration deadline at the high school. And at Livingston, there were like maybe 20 kids in the whole high school who took it.
It was so not a big
much
thing.
Less common than like mm-hmm. ACT, SAT.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay. So is the test similar to the ACT or is it different?
There's only an English and math portion.
Okay.
And it's just split into two parts. But besides that, they're pretty mm-hmm. I'd say they're similar questions.
I never took the SAT. So the PSAT mm-hmm. is just the preliminary SAT, but it's used for the National Merit. I hear it's very common. Like, it's very similar to the SAT, but I wouldn't know.
Yeah. I haven't taken the SAT either, so I'm not sure.
You didn't just sign up for those for fun before your
no.
college plans? Yeah. So obviously, we're very common to just take the ACT around mm-hmm. here, but the SAT is much more common in other places. So to me, that makes you all even smarter because the SAT is not common mm-hmm. here as it is in other places. So for you all to get there, so I'm assuming you've already had taken the ACT. Mm-hmm. So that's a big deal. You probably did pretty well on that, I'm guessing, if you've made it up. So how was your education moving through elementary and middle school? Have you always been like really into your education, or did your other interests ever kind of take, you know, go above and beyond that, or have you always just been like, I'm gonna get the best scores all the way through? I gotta have A's, gotta have the highest ACTs.
I feel like for both of us, we took a lot of like high school classes in middle school and mm-hmm. started there. And yeah. Well, they're like elementary school had, I can't remember what they called, but they had like more advanced, where like you could leave for a little bit and go to a class with a few kids and yeah. do an advanced thing. Yeah. But for the most part, I mean, like, elementary school, it's elementary school. There's yeah. not much you could do.
Read,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. But middle school, we took some high school classes mm-hmm. and honors yeah. classes and worked from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there are similar like metrics you use in middle. Like there was math testing, and if you get enough higher mm-hmm. score for that, you're part of this class. And so like along the way, there are places where you delineate, but
I would say we started pretty early.
Yeah, I mean, like it was never like I'm gonna be the best.
Yeah, no,
just,
but
I just kind of floated along. I'd say
I think it was also more of like I didn't like in a regular class I got a little bored, so my parents were like, "You should take
yeah,
higher
should
ones."
Take yeah, right. Now, where did you go to middle school?
Avery Trace.
Avery Trace. So you're both at Avery
yes.
Trace.
Yeah.
So was it good? And so I'm thinking of, you know, if somebody's listening, parents of middle school students mm-hmm. and their middle school students are like, this class is okay, but you know, I could be challenged more mm-hmm. because maybe I would like to be at a higher level, mm-hmm. have those high ACT scores. What would you say to them about taking those advanced classes? Was it just a lot of extra work, or did it really feel challenging? Did you enjoy those?
I had lots of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was very manageable, I'd say, in terms of workload.
I would say it was less that there was more work and more that it was just you did harder stuff almost.
Mm-hmm. So along the way, so it was definitely more challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times those smaller classes that I've seen with my kids, they're smaller mm-hmm. also, you know, so there may be 30 people in the English class, but there may only be 15 in the English mm-hmm. honors class, and mm-hmm. it seems like that gives you a little more opportunity to personalize what mm-hmm. you're doing. Mm-hmm. So maybe you can talk the teacher into doing a book study mm-hmm. on a book that you like.
Mm-hmm. Like when we would take, like we were always in the same classes because it was only like there'd be one advanced math class and one mm-hmm. High school yeah. honors class in middle school. So it was smaller where we could learn
yeah,
better.
Although I specifically remember, like, you take the MAP test, and they take, like, the 30 top scores and put all those kids in a class. So it may not have been smaller in that case, but if you're talking about, like, when I took integrated math 1 in 7th grade, I mean, only the kids who really wanted to be there
yes.
were in there. And so I think that was a good environment mm-hmm. to be in.
And so you really wanted to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So that was you've had a love for academics mm-hmm. along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what other things have you been doing? I know you mentioned that you do some theater stuff. Mm-hmm. So what else do you do on the side in addition to the obviously spending a lot of time with your academics because you're doing really well?
I'm in choir, and I made the All-State Choir for Tennessee for 2 years. And so I do a lot of singing stuff. I did musical theater 1 year last year, but I like the arts.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say I put a lot of time into singing. And when I did the play last year, I put a lot of time into the musical too. But.
And I imagine that Mr. Schott, Mr. Cunningham are good for encouraging you to keep mm-hmm. to keep focused and engaged, but to also keep up with your mm-hmm. with your work. Did you think that, and I know there's a lot of practicing, a whole lot of practicing with that. Did you still do okay keeping up with your homework mm-hmm. and all of your normal academic work?
I would say it was hard to find a balance to have time to go to all the musical rehearsals and then also have time for my work. But it's possible.
Yeah.
it does take hard work, though.
Yeah. And what about you? What do you do?
So I am trained in ballet since I was like three. So that's a big thing for me. So that takes up a lot of time, I'd say. Not too much, but it's something I've really enjoyed as I've grown up.
Yeah. And do you feel like that and I ask this, you know, because people have interests and there are things not everybody's like, I'm just going to only do my academics and ignore everything else. Do you feel like you can balance that to get to the level where you all are to be able to make that test?
Yeah.
Think it's doable?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. You don't have to like give your whole life to something to like still do it really well.
Like, yeah. I think if I had just focused on academics and not other things, I would have gotten burned out and not wanted to focus
That's
so
true.
Much on academics if I hadn't had other areas to have fun and enjoy other activities.
And balance that out a little bit, along the way. Did you all take any prep courses and do any of the ACT prep courses? Or
I took the ACT boot camp.
Okay.
Yes. Junior year.
Yes. And that's like an all-day Saturday thing, if I recall.
It's Friday afternoon, all-day Saturday, and all-day Sunday.
It's the whole weekend.
It's a whole thing.
Yes,
but
yes.
But it helped. It was hard, and it was long, but it helped.
Yes, yeah. And I imagine probably test-taking strategies were part of that, so it probably just helped you with both tests in general.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would say it was more... Here's how the ACT works, and here's how you can – it was less here's, like, academic information, like here's how to do this math problem. It was more here's how the ACT works, and here's how you can operate it best to get the best score you can. So it helped a lot.
Yeah, which is important. I know they offer those pretty regularly.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, students, parents, I'm thinking of parents that are listening. How am I going to get my student – on the same kind of track where they can achieve the same kind of thing, I think is a big deal. But still picking your brains to figure out how you got there is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to take a short break, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about some of your other achievements. Welcome back to Local Matters, talking education. I'm talking to a couple National Merit Scholar finalists from Cookeville High School, Catherine Smith and Natalie Beatty. Thank you all again for coming out. So we've got a little bit of the background of kind of how you got here. So let's talk forward plans. So I know that being a finalist for the National Merit Scholarship is good because there can be scholarships involved. But I know that colleges also really like to see that on a resume. So what's next? Where are you planning to go with this? Even if you don't make it through the final round and get the scholarship from that, what does this look like, and what are your plans?
I hope to go to UTC and major in psychology. I want to be a speech pathologist. And I think being a national merit finalist, even if I don't get a national merit finalist scholarship, putting it on other scholarship applications is a good – it's helpful because a lot of scholarship people see that and are like, oh – cool. Sound like that's an accomplishment that they value.
It's a big deal. So have you been getting offers from other universities also?
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe Tennessee Tech or?
Mm-hmm. Tech did offer me specific scholarships because I was a national merit finalist. So that's cool too. I don't know exactly where I'll be next year, but those are my two options, is Tech and UTC.
Still trying to figure that out. So, well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Okay, so what about you? What are you thinking?
I'm undecided on my college, frankly waiting to hear back on admissions decisions until late March. But wherever I am, it's looking like applied mathematics for me, something I really enjoy. And as far as the scholarships go, especially looking at really competitive schools, like Vanderbilt, Emory, whatever. It's one added little piece to have that National Merit Scholar finalist thing in your application.
Yeah. It is a big deal, and I would expect that there would be competition. And if I were sitting in your shoes, I would take full advantage of that. You know, I would kind of work that system a little bit to say, hey, I've got this offer from this university.
Mm-hmm.
Can you meet it?
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, and I'm not sure if you know this, but I actually work in the College of Education and Human Sciences, and we would love to have you in psychology. And I'm glad to take that back to the dean's office to talk about scholarships. But I do think it does open doors. Mm-hmm. And again, thinking about, you know, people who are listening, well, why would I want to do that? I think it's a big deal mm-hmm. to even just talk about that and know that there are opportunities along the way. So what other, I know that when my oldest son came through when he was a senior, he got literature every day from university. Mm-hmm. So I imagine that part of that is they probably also kind of share your name. Mm-hmm. And so have you gotten literature from anywhere that's just super exciting? From across the US, any colleges that are just like, oh, I wasn't expecting that one from Washington State? Or
I mean, they'll send out a big brochure to mm-hmm. just about anyone.
Yeah.
Good uh-huh. grades. I've got
ones from like Yale and Harvard.
Yeah. But I highly doubt I would have gotten in if I had applied. I think it's something they cast a really wide net because mm-hmm. they want to reach really far with their student body. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Harvard, Yale, Dartmouth,
like
Cornell.
Stanford at some
point. Yeah, UChicago. UChicago, mm-hmm. I mean,
wow.
They're killing a lot of trees.
Yeah.
I mean, full like books sometimes. I'm like, wow, lots of information.
Yeah, to send out the materials. And, mm-hmm. and it's a big deal. I mean, it's a big deal, you know, just to have that option. But also, I know that with your applications, mm-hmm. that there are lots of other little moving parts that you talk about, your interests and, mm-hmm. and your career goals. So mm-hmm. so after that, after you, and I know it's early and I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to do when I grow up. And I've been at my job over 20 years. So what are you thinking after that? So you mentioned speech pathology. Mm-hmm. Will you do that in the area, or you think? Or
I'm not sure.
Not
but
sure? What
I'd
would
love,
you like to do with that?
I'd love to work with kids because I love kids, and I'd love to be able to help them. So I would say definitely focusing on children and speech-language pathology. But past that, I don't know where I'll be. We'll see how life goes.
Yeah, to decide. Mm-hmm. And so how about you? So with the math, mm-hmm. the math degree,
yeah.
You may have to explain what that means and what you think what you're planning to do with that.
Yeah, I mean, the easy answer is I can just teach math. But you always need math teachers. But I'd also really love to get into research. In terms of applied mathematics, physics applications are really interesting to me. So you can do a lot with that in the space sector or other research technology, things like that.
So I'm thinking working for Elon Musk.
I don't.
At SpaceX?
I would not say that particularly, but there's lots of fun math.
But something in the industry,
yes.
in an industry
yes, sir.
Like that
mm-hmm.
in general, mm-hmm. would be a big deal. Mm-hmm. Solving some of those math equations that haven't been solved. I know that's always a thing for math
yes,
people.
Yes, people much smarter than me have tried very hard on those things, but
I think you got
I
it.
I love a challenge.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you'll get there. You'll get there with it. You'll get there with it at some point, I'm sure. So, okay, so let's back up then just a little bit. And what type of advice would you offer for students who would like to apply, like to have the right coursework? So let's say we're talking to middle schoolers or mm-hmm. parents of middle schoolers. I'll go back to that because that's sometimes if that's the audience who's listening. So how would you frame this for them to be successful to get to this point? What would you need to do along the way?
I would say that starting off with high school courses in middle school is helpful because then you have more chances to take college classes in high school. If you've gotten your prerequisites that you need to have done for high school done sooner, then you have more options to take AP classes and dual enrollment and just whatever you can to get as far as you can before even getting to college, where you can get college credits ahead of time and not and have less classes you have to take in college. Mm-hmm. I would say that would be the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I would say work smarter, not harder.
Mm-hmm.
I think of the math track specifically, where if you can take high school freshman math in seventh grade, you can get so much further. And even with these standardized tests, you can know certain questions and how to solve certain mm-hmm. problems, not because you're anything special or just a genius, but because you've had the class and you've been mm-hmm. in those classrooms longer. I'm really super grateful I had that opportunity. Mm-hmm. I know lots of kids don't. And so I would say when you have those opportunities to take that extra class, don't take it lightly, but also, mm-hmm. you know, have a stab at it, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah. Did you all do any of those online? Any of the advanced classes? I know that Putnam County has mm-hmm. virtual mm-hmm. school, and sometimes it's like, I really want to take that math 2 advanced math class, but mm-hmm. it's only offered online.
We were fortunate enough that at Avery Trace, we had the opportunity to take all of them in person.
Mm-hmm. With fantastic teachers, mm-hmm. too.
All the high school math and English we took in
mm-hmm. in person.
In person.
Once you get to the high school, there are AP classes that mm-hmm. aren't offered, and that's where you get into the like AP Access for All. And I took physics, Spanish, economics that way. But in middle school at Avery Trace, we all had in person mm-hmm. stuff, which was a really good mm-hmm. privilege to have.
I took AP Psychology online too, mm-hmm. but. For the most part, in middle school, we had a lot of opportunities to take things in person with the in-person teacher.
Yeah, which is – so do you have a preference? Because I know that when you get to college, there's going to be options.
I would definitely say that I appreciated in-person teachers. Mm-hmm. I think it was easier to be engaged in a class when there's a person that most of the time loves what they're teaching. Mm-hmm. Teaching you, and they want to, and they keep you invested more than yeah. I would say an online class mm-hmm. would.
I think my online classes made me appreciate it even more, having a human who can, mm-hmm. can answer your questions.
I would agree. I don't think I knew how how good it was to be in an in-person class until taking online classes, where mm-hmm. it's harder.
Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure. Well, and remember that when you do get to college mm-hmm. and the only option is an 8 a.m. class – or an online class, mm-hmm. and you're like, whoa, it would be really nice not to get up at 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, trying to balance that and figure that out, you know, sometimes you have a preference, and it's okay mm-hmm. to have that preference. Okay, well, we're going to pause and take a short break, and then we'll come back and finish our last segment. Mm-hmm. Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm your host, Jeremy Wendt, talking education with a couple of National Merit Scholarship finalists. From Cookeville High School. So during the break, we were talking a little bit about your career plans and a few of those things. So, but currently, you're both working. Mm-hmm. So working alongside your academics, it's always a juggling act. Mm-hmm. So let's start with what you do on the side.
I work for my church, The River. I babysit for life groups and just events that happen at church. Which means I get to hang out with kids, and I love kids, so it's fun. Yeah. I enjoy it.
That's a fun thing, and, mm-hmm. and it might run in your family. Mm-hmm. There may be some mm-hmm. teachers and some educators in your family, so that comes naturally. Mm-hmm. And then tell us about what you do.
Yeah, so I work at the physics department in one of their labs under Dr. Holly. He's great. I do a lot of maybe most of my hours over the summer, but as the school year continues, I still put in a little work.
Yeah, a little bit of work. I know Dr. Holly was in a meeting with him in the physics department. So the type of things that you could do, we were talking about possibly being a faculty member someday. Mm-hmm. And so could you envision that? Do you think and to get you there, so these little things that to you all may not seem like a big deal, but they're kind of launching points, and they tend to open doors. Mm-hmm. And so just having that as an option, is that something that you would want to do? You've got a little insight into being a faculty member and teaching physics. Could you see yourself doing that or math?
Teaching physics or math, like at the collegiate level, to me seems like a solid career path, and the perk of being a professor is you also get your own little research going on as well. So I think having the teaching and the research together sounds like a fun job and for sure.
Yeah, which for some people, when you just talk math and fun, use those words in the same sentence.
Yeah,
you know, it doesn't work that way for everybody, but a lot of people, you know, when you have that skill set, you certainly want to take advantage. And really the same with speech pathology. Mm-hmm. If you end up doing that, and unfortunately we don't have that graduate program at Tennessee Tech. I'm sorry, but you know, we do have good undergrad programs to launch you that. So do you think you would stick with that? Would you work in a school system? Or are you thinking like opening your own business, working for a? Thought that far ahead?
I think the goal would eventually be to open my own business. If that means that at some points I work in the school system or a different business, that's cool. But I think eventually I would like to have my own business where I can just hang out with kiddos and help them.
Yeah, help them along the way. Mm-hmm. We have one of our majors that we have at Tech is called Applied Behavior Analysis, and a lot of people do that. It's a clinical license where they work with students with special needs, primarily mm-hmm. autistic students. And so that's a neat little pathway that we've seen a lot of growth in over time, but mm-hmm. not speech pathology. We don't have that one, mm-hmm. unfortunately. So outside of that, so again, kind of circling back around to where we started, what would you say to people who would like to do this? How high school students, let's zero in on high school students, who you think would prep for this to get into the running for a national merit scholarship, how would you guide them? So like, we're getting a little more down to the granular level here. What coursework would be beneficial to get there? What other prep resources? Do you use Khan Academy? I mean, what kind of resources do you use?
For the most part, I did a lot of practice tests and studying for the ACT, and a lot of that transferred over to help me with the PSAT. But I would say that, like Catherine said earlier, that taking advanced classes means that harder questions on the ACT and PSAT that kids that are taking the normal junior year like math courses might not have gotten to that part in their curriculum yet, where they wouldn't know how to do a problem just because they've never been taught that. But taking advanced classes mm-hmm. meant that you understood more and knew, had more knowledge to mm-hmm. use to be able to score better on tests.
Yeah. This is really not helpful, but I didn't really do any preparations. I just showed up in Livingston. Yeah. But I think that speaks to like my gratitude for the teachers I've had since kindergarten. I mean, that I had those opportunities to get started as early as possible with the high school classes I was ready for. Mm-hmm. And so when I see, you know, maybe a junior, senior year problem, I say, oh, I've seen that before because I had the opportunity to skip ahead a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To me, the preparation is there. It's just drawn yeah. out. It's not mm-hmm. any of the last minute, like mm-hmm. I got to do this extra workshop so that mm-hmm. I can understand. It's, you've been working on it for mm-hmm. so long mm-hmm. and putting in the hours and the effort to get there that it is, it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. So I think a big deal is focusing on the areas that you know you need to improve on. Mm-hmm. I had a teacher who came to school at 7 a.m. and there was a group of us and, mm-hmm. and we did that for several weeks, 7 a.m. every day to work on English and language arts, mm-hmm. Because I needed some help with that. And so, you know, I think there are opportunities like that are beneficial that you do along the way with those prep courses. Mm-hmm. Now, have you used AI at all for any of your work and prep?
No.
Because that's a big deal right now.
I haven't really used, with the exception of like a homework question in AP Chem, which is completely unrelated, I've not really
I don't know if I've ever used AI on any schoolwork.
Okay. Well, no, that's okay. I mean, that's yeah. fine, and it's a big deal. It's been a big conversation at Tech, mm-hmm. because it can do more than you need it to do. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to become reliant on that to mm-hmm. to skip that process that obviously right. you've spent the time learning those math mm-hmm. procedures rather yeah. than just having it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I would say like if you're talking about an AI chatbot, they can explain things too. It's not like you can just plug in a question, mm-hmm. it gives you an answer. It can also explain how it got to that answer. Now, it's wrong sometimes, and it's very confidently wrong, but I can ask yes. it a question and say, explain this to me, rather than just give me the mm-hmm. answer. So it's not all bad, I would say, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So, but it's certainly, it's an opportunity, mm-hmm. and I think with mathematics, statistics, those things, and even really, if you think about speech pathology, I think there's opportunity for AI. You know, if there's a program mm-hmm. that can help the students, you know, you could have five students and three of those students could be working with an AI program.
Wow.
And yeah. and they could be helping, you know, while you're working mm-hmm. individually with two others. I think there's a lot of potential. Mm-hmm. And it could be that AI is going to solve that math problem before you if you don't start working on those unsolvable supposedly math
yeah.
problems.
Yeah.
You may have to work on those. But I can see it being integrated, and we've worked on it at Tech. We've tried to figure out just like with the high school teachers, tried to figure out what's good and what's bad, mm-hmm. and try to work through and educate students on which parts they should be using and which parts they shouldn't be using, mm-hmm. along the way. So what's next between college? Over the summer, are you going to be working?
Mm-hmm.
Hanging out, taking a breath after mm-hmm. all the hard work you put
in? Definitely
that,
definitely that.
Planning for the next 4 years.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hanging out with friends.
Maybe travel a little.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Work, definitely. Work mm-hmm. somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Savor it, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, and that's what I would recommend. Mm-hmm. Just taking a breath, mm-hmm. because you've obviously worked hard to get to where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so take a little time and just enjoy that. Graduation will be coming up soon.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
And that's a big deal.
Yes.
Along the way.
A lot sooner than we thought it would happen.
Yes. Have y'all had your practices and all that stuff
at the
scheduled?
High school, it's kind of like
the week before. Oh, it's the day before?
Pictures.
We have done senior pictures.
Okay. Pictures are done for the mm-hmm. most part.
Okay. Yeah, you don't want to forget about all those things. Mm-hmm. And your workload should be a little bit lighter mm-hmm. in your courses
yeah.
now that you're
on the
downhill slide.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Along the way.
I would also say that's one good thing is having taken a lot of advanced classes earlier, you can get some stuff over with where your senior year, you have more time to focus on applying to colleges and that not being mm-hmm. such a hard thing to fit into your time since you have less stuff you have to get done because you worked mm-hmm. harder before.
Yeah, the application process for admissions, scholarships, it could truly be like a part-time mm-hmm. job. So being able to go a little easier senior year and your coursework is a great idea mm-hmm. if you have the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. That would be a great course to mm-hmm. allow you to do that with a counselor mm-hmm. during the school day. apply for all mm-hmm. those scholarships
mm-hmm.
because it is a lot, and you have to do it very early
mm-hmm.
to be in that queue
mm-hmm.
so that the universities can mm-hmm. can try to nab you quicker
mm-hmm.
along the way. Mm-hmm. So you're still making final decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Still shopping
mm-hmm.
around with the colleges.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I would certainly continue that as much as you can,
mm-hmm.
and to make sure that you're in the right spot, because there are a lot of decisions around that. Because you know when you talk about living in the dorms and mm-hmm. covering all those expenses and there's a lot to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
What is pulling you towards UTC?
I love their Honors College. I've applied and interviewed for that, and I'll find out if I get into their Honors College in March or April. But really, the campus and the environment and their Honors College was really cool, too. So I'd say that.
That's good. That's good. Okay. We have reached the end of our time. I appreciate y'all coming out and chatting about your accomplishments, and good luck to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So much.
All right. Thank you.